Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
What about here?
The Hombre!
The Giant! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth. That's right. My name is Peter Rosenberg, and I'm joined by the physically congested stat guy, Greg. SGG, how are you?
Shout out to Vix. I'm doing great.
You know, and good for Vix for being, you know, people who just heard us. We have listeners. They reached out. They sent me some. I got to get you the stuff they sent me. They don't want you to be congested. We have listeners over there. And good job out of them, because I'm sure over the years you've used your share of Vicks Vaporu, as it's known.
Oh, my God. I have stories about Vicks. Vicks Vapor Rub. My mom, that's like the magic gel.
Vaporu. Really?
Yeah. Like when I was a kid and we'd get sick, she just rubbed Vicks Vapor Rub on everything, like the bridge of your nose and your chest. She like napped that off, and I'm not gonna lie.
And how'd it do?
It worked though. It worked.
Was it
effective? That's why it was the go-to.
Wow! Shout out to Vicks Vaporu for coming through. Yeah. I want to get started with a couple of messages before we get into Fastlane and everything else going on. And Greg's general excitement and mine about Kid Rock joining the Hall of Fame. Before we get there, let me say we are heading to New Orleans in very soon. Actually, let me say first, this Friday night, I hope to see you guys at Madison Square Garden at the house show. The Road to WrestleMania at the Garden is going to be a fantastic show. So I recommend you take out the family and holler at me when you're there. Tell me where you're going to be. I'll try to say hello. All my peanuts out there, aka the peanut gallery. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the peanut gallery in full effect. Shout out to the dude who sent me the email and put me on to why am I not calling it the peanut gallery? That is a mage decision. So all my peanuts at the peanut gallery. I hope to see you Friday night at the Garden. But SGG and I will be in New Orleans with the usual suspects. And I have gotten confirmation that there will be a heat and greet on Saturday before WrestleMania in the afternoon before NXT. SGG, I've also learned that we will be creating and giving away 100. There will only be 100 ever made.
And they will all be given away.
Oh, that's right. First come, first serve, heat and greet t-shirts to those with a life, peanuts, and G-nuts.
That doesn't have the same ring to it, man.
It doesn't. We'll come up with something else. Everyone who comes through will get, the first 100 people will get laced with a shirt, and we'll hang out, have a beverage, take some pictures. I have not decided on the location yet. So if you are maybe in New Orleans and you own a spot, or you're from New Orleans and have a friend who has a spot, or whatever it may be, tell us, give us a suggestion of a good place for the heat and greet. You know, we keep it simple. All we really look for is a space to be able to go hang out, on that Saturday afternoon around 4 o'clock before NXT, and ideally someplace walking distance of the arena, to keep it simple. So if anyone has any thoughts, hit me up, rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. Got a lot of great emails this week. I'll probably shout some people out here in a little bit. So yeah, that's happening, SGG. WrestleMania weekend, the heat and greet will go down. And SGG, what is happening outside the ring that we need to discuss?
Well, you touched on one. Kid Rock is going into the celebrity wing at the Hall of the WWE Hall of Fame. And you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there was a mage name that you heard and a repug name. And since then, they've mentioned two Repug names. So I just want us to both go on record and say that this is not the mage name that you hinted at a few weeks ago.
Well, I'll tell you this. I disagree about both names being Repug. We are not, you and I are not on the same page with Hillbilly Jim. I think Repug is too
far. Was Hillbilly Jim the mage name then that you were hinting at?
No, it was not. Hillbilly Jim was not the mage name, and Kid Rock was most certainly not the mage name that I was referring to. So the name that I had heard floating around, I have not, obviously we have not heard that name yet. Now, SGG, I did notice that when they announced Kid Rock, who, by the way, other than his Repug views of recent, I would have argued that even if you're not a Kid Rock fan, he's a totally worthy member of the Celebrity Hall of Fame. He's just become Repug. So,
I mean, for their purposes, I guess so, because he did that Undertaker theme when he came back with the American Badass gimmick. And honestly, like, they've let people in for less.
I think he did, and didn't he do Stacy Keebler's theme too?
Yeah. And they let people in for less, so, you know, multiple themes.
Multiple themes, WrestleMania performance, and Tribute to the Troops performance. That's definitely worthy in terms of being involved. But, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but yeah, the character that he has become, that he appears to be playing, I've had no interest in. And it actually was disappointing to me, because before that happened over the last couple of years, I actually was really a fan. Like, musically, whatever. He had a couple songs I liked. Generally, if someone would have told me they're a Kid Rock fan, I'd be like, oh, well, you're not that into good music. But I was a fan because of his hip-hop roots and him being a battle DJ and really being down with a lot of people and having relationships with a lot of people from Detroit over the years. And I even saw him perform once at Jazz Fest. You know, Jazz Fest has all kinds of musicians. Anyone who's like, you're not jazz musicians, it's everyone. If you're influenced by jazz at all, right? So I saw Kid Rock at Jazz Fest in 2011. And he busted out the turntables and still did a battle routine. And I was very impressed by this at the time. So I'm disappointed, frankly, in what he has shown himself to be. But SGG, that was not who I was referring to. So, did you notice though that on Monday, normally when it's the last person, they say like, and that's the class of 2018.
Right.
Don't they basically seal it all up?
Yeah, they,
I don't
put
think
a bow
they
on
did
it.
That. I don't think they did, right?
No, they did not. They made sure to say so, he's the latest inductee.
I noticed that key word as well. Latest. I noticed the word latest. So in other words, I am still holding out hope that we are not yet complete with the Hall of Fame class. And I'll tell you this, the Hall of Fame class is in desperate need of someone mage.
Yeah, this has got to be like the worst ever. I said that before, and I feel like
I've heard that. I've heard people say that on a podcast that I listen to.
With this latest inductee, they just keep going for that title of worst ever, and like this is including some of the early classes that you know had people that you're like, who is this person? Like, I can think of Johnny Rods right off the top. He got inducted in, I think, 96. And I was like, you see that name. And I'm like, I don't know who that person is, but kudos to him. And there are any names that you don't recognize from this class, but that doesn't make it any better, I don't think.
Yeah, they need, we need something else. Like I've said, Goldberg's a tough one because he's deserving. Well, you know, I mean, deserving. How about this? He's obviously a Hall of Famer. Because of impact. But he's your headliner. And Goldberg, to have Goldberg as the headliner who's not really a true wrestler is not my favorite. That's not my favorite.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's move on to the positive, SGG. Well, actually, anything else that you want to hit outside the ring?
Well, they announced, the women's battle royal for WrestleMania. And, that also caused an uproar. It's named after the Fabulous Moolah. And she, how can I put this lightly? She doesn't have the best reputation outside of the WWE. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, if you read about a lot of ladies wrestling back in the day, she is not painted in the best light. So many people felt that with the current climate we're living in and people sort of calling out people who have a really checkered past, that this was not a good direction to go. I didn't realize people would respond that way, in spite of the fact that the things that I saw people complaining about were all things that I obviously have seen before too. At the same time, I guess I just wasn't surprised because Fabulous Moolah has been an icon and the name associated with women's wrestling basically forever.
But that's the thing though, like the reason why she was able to be an icon and be associated with women's wrestling forever is what people are calling out though. You know what I mean? Burying people, yes, and holding people back and robbing people and, you know, putting people in terrible situations and making sure that she really didn't have a successor. So of course she's the icon.
Yeah. The reason I'm not saying a ton is not because I don't think that's valid, but because even though I've read about it in like two different books, I still don't consider myself knowledgeable enough to really go in on it. And, you know, frankly, I feel probably many of the people going in on it are not, no, I don't feel that way. I know most people are not educated on this enough to probably level the accusations that exist. But that being said, I certainly understood the uproar given that people's eyes are open right now, and rightfully so. So we'll see whether that's something WWE acknowledges and really digs into and is like, wait a second. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do you consider yourself an expert on it? I don't consider myself expert enough to fully like throw down.
I feel like everybody's heard and read the same things, which basically stem from, you know, stories that Sweet Georgia Brown told and Wendi Richter just about the conditions on Moolah's compound, quote unquote, and the way. So I feel like everybody's circulating the same stories. So in that regard, I wouldn't say that anybody's an expert because, you know, we weren't there and this is all secondhand, but people who were there, we all heard same stories from people who were there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I read stuff in Mildred Burke's biography. Like there's places to get this information. I just don't know how much of that is people actually have and how much they're recycling. And just spinning back around, but yeah, it was very interesting. And there are a lot of other names you could use on a women's battle royal. That's for sure.
I saw a tweet. Someone said, you know, they should have went with China because if Andre's the eighth wonder and China was the ninth wonder, that would have been like a good, a balance, I guess.
China would have been perfect. Not to mention, China was in a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, China was IC champion. So I wouldn't hate that at all. The China Memorial Battle Royal.
The Sherry Martel was another name that I saw people throw out there.
Yeah, which I mean, I'm the biggest Sensational Sherry fan there is. Although China's a better fit for a battle royal. Just in terms of like from a what a battle royal is standpoint. But Sherry's an icon. And I guess they wouldn't use Mae Young because Mae Young's already being used for the was used for the tournament. So, anyways, what else, SGG?
We're going to bring it down the energy a little bit. We're going to pick it up. I swear, Jeff Hardy was arrested for a DWI over the weekend.
Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Terrible story. Blew 3 times the legal limit, according to the police.
Yeah.
Anyone who listens to this show knows that I don't take that lightly. And it personally offends me and should be treated like a serious crime because people's lives are being put at risk. And fortunately, no ones were taken in this circumstance. But, man, he just got cleared to come back. He supposedly just shot a scene in the final deletion.
The ultimate deletion.
The ultimate deletion.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I'm glad that no one was hurt and it was just property damage, but still, like you said, there's no excuse for it. And we should all know better, but if anybody should know better, it's Jeff Hardy with his history and, it's just that simple, like with his history and.
Well, and does this mean that Jeff Hardy's like still a mess?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would take it that far, but it's a fair question.
It worries me because like, well, the reason I say that is to make a decision that bad when you're on the verge of coming back. I'm guessing would have had some sort of role at WrestleMania and when you're about to, you know, when you still are kind of in the process of finishing up your real legacy at WWE, you know, he's got to kind of seal that thing up. Very disappointing. It's just disappointing, man. It's a real bummer, and we'll see how it plays out now. But they obviously, I'm guessing they already deleted him because he wasn't advertised to be in the Ultimate Deletion.
I mean, maybe not though, because I remember one of the Usos, I think it was Jay, in January.
Just got one, right?
Yeah, in January. And
but I think he got a DUI.
Which is different.
And this is a DW, yeah. Correct? And DU is bad. DW is worse.
DW is like definitely alcohol. The rule of thumb is like if you see DWI, like they were definitely drunk or like intoxicated by choice. And DUI could have been anything. Like they might have taken some type of medicine that had them a little groggy. So DUI is more open. You really can't really guess what happened. But a DWI is like you were drunk driving.
Do you have any, is that all the depressing news
we have? That is all the depressing news that we have.
All right, well then there's only one thing that could cheer us up, damn it. The Black Power Rank. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm back. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blickety black, 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 I'm black, I'm black, 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 y'all. And I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.
blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black.
Please, yeah. SGG, please, please fix this.
So, honorable mention, this is a shocking one, is going to go to Sheamus. Because, wow. Yeah, on Monday, in a very underrated, and you probably, it was like a blink if you missed, you missed it kind of thing. When all the tag teams were attacking, Sheamus retreated up the ramp and he was about to make it to the back. And Titus Worldwide comes in from the back, causes Sheamus to backtrack. And in that moment, Sheamus did the only thing that he could do. He threw up the Wakanda Forever sign and extended a hand to Titus O'Neil in an attempt to save himself from the beating that was going to come down from Titus Worldwide. It didn't work, but for recognizing Wakanda and the power.
That is hilarious. I did notice it, but it was very subtle and quick.
It was amazing. So he's definitely going in an honorable mention.
Sheamus, underrated dude.
Yeah.
I remember when Sheamus first came out, all the supposed smart wrestling fans who would go at him, like, oh, he's just Triple H's weightlifting buddy, and he's a cool dude. Sheamus is a cool dude, generally speaking. A chipper, cool dude. Who also seems tremendously young. He's already 40. That's hilarious. All right, honorable mention, Sheamus.
And at number three, Titus Worldwide, who was also a part of that Wakanda Forever exchange with Sheamus, and specifically Titus for sure, just because not only were they getting it done in the ring, and like I said, I like them coming together as a tag team, but Titus O'Neil had that almost face-off moment with Braun Strowman. He thought better of it. And also for outside of the ring, Titus O'Neil was just in South Africa, doing some philanthropic work ahead of WWE's tour of South Africa. You know, he visited some schools. You know, Titus loved the kids. And so just for that, he's coming in at number three on the Black Power ranking.
Titus, great man, and also he's getting a bit of a push.
Yeah, I mean, deservedly so. I thought he was, you know, before he got suspended, he was on his way up. And he sort of hasn't found his way back to that yet. But I think there's still time for them to right the ship on Titus and throw some type of title on Titus at some point.
We all want to see a Titus on title. I mean, a title on Titus. Exactly.
in at number two, New Day.
New Day?
Yeah, they were about to have another good match with the Usos at Fastlane before the Bludgeon Brothers showed up. And then on Tuesday, Big E and I believe it was Jimmy joining forces.
Yep.
I found that to be highly entertaining, that promo that led to them joining forces against the Bludgeon Brothers. And interestingly enough, random stat, that match with Big E was just the second time that Jimmy Uso had a tag match in the WWE with someone who was not either his brother or his wife in all his time.
Well, that's very interesting. Who was the other
Zack Ryder in 2015?
Wow, Greg, Craig, you doing stats over there?
Just every once in a while, I got to sprinkle them in. This is the pick-me-up. We're trying to uplift the people, so I have to throw in a stat after all the depressing outside the ring.
Yo, I see you with the stats, son.
And in a number one.
Number one.
Cedric Alexander.
Of course.
Who has been quietly, I don't want to say putting on classics, but he's been definitely doing his thing over there in 205 Live, and he punched his ticket to WrestleMania. So he's going to New Orleans to fight for the Cruiserweight Championship against either Mustafa Ali or Drew Gulak. But This is the Black Power ranking. So his opponent right now doesn't matter because Cedric Alexander is going in.
Well said.
He's going to New Orleans and he's going in at number one this week.
Greg, did anyone tell you that I talked about you on the radio this morning?
I saw a tweet. I didn't get to listen because I usually listen to the podcast later in the day, the Hot 97 one. But I heard a little something something. What did you say?
We played this song by an artist named Buddy featuring ASAP Ferg called Black. And I said, I was basically saying how it could be the new theme song of the Black Power Rankings. And then I had to explain what the Black Power Rankings are. So it ended up being a conversation about SGP.
They didn't know what the...
Hey, Bear, what are you doing?
They didn't know what
the Black Power Rankings was over at.
I know.
Even Shawnee. Shawnee has the Black Facts. I mean, I didn't make it in this year, but next February.
And you deserve
Yeah, next February. Come on.
And you... Hey, Bear, come up. Come on up. I'm doing the podcast. Come here, Bear. Come on, Bear. Punch your ticket to WrestleMania. Why are you just staring at me? Come on. Up. Andy's up. Bear just punched his ticket to WrestleMania. Good boy. Good boy. I'll see you in New Orleans, buddy. Bear wants to go to the Heat and Greet.
As long as he doesn't fly United, he should be all right.
Too soon. It's simply too soon, the joke, right, SGG. Right. It's simply too soon. I will never put you in the overhead compartment. And, you know, they got mad at me today on the show, as you'll hear when you do hear the Ebro in the Morning podcast. They got mad at me because I put some of the blame on the owner.
How?
How'd they get mad at me or how'd I put the blame?
Yeah, how'd you put the blame on the owner?
You're kicking me off the plane. You're kicking me off the plane. I'm not putting my dog in the overhead compartment and then just leaving it there. Like they walked away and you heard your dog whimpering and you didn't just like be like, hell no, and open it. You just sat there. Another human allowed you to do that. You can't. Now listen, I understand the power struggle. I understand we don't know anything about the person. I get all that, and I am not victim blaming. It is not their fault. It is the woman from United's fault.
True.
And she should pay the price. I'm just saying, if it was you, SGG, would you have locked the dog in the overhead compartment?
Well, it's easy for me to say that I wouldn't have now. But at the same time, too, like, I just watched The Push on Netflix, and it's all about, like, social compliance and how you can get people to do things that they normally wouldn't do with the right amount of pressure, and how, like, in a room full of strangers, it's easier to give somebody an order because, like, if everybody else is doing it, then you just do it so that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to cause a fuss. So I could see how under the right circumstances with the right person who has the right temperament, they could be, not, I don't want to say forced, but sort of coerced into putting their dog in the overhead bin and then putting their dog in a situation.
Okay, but just
happens.
Tell me this. Tell me this, and I know this isn't a popular opinion. I get it. Tell me this. They convince you to do it because of all the things you just said. When that plane gets up in the air and the stewardess isn't standing there, you're not going to crack it open and look?
Yeah, of course.
That's just, I'm not blaming them. It's not their fault. They should get paid. They should get retribution, whatever. I just found that part crazy. I was just like,
Like somebody should check on the dog. That some, you know, like periodically in the flight, did the dog get water? Did you feed him a snack? Like,
why is it?
Because I'm sure, like if they were prepared to have him under the seat, they probably had all of that ready for him. Like,
yeah. So like, listen, I know it could be my white privilege that says, oh, I would have said hell no. You know, I'm sure there is a piece of white privilege built into there because I don't think that I feel
that
the same pressure on airlines.
That is true too, though.
On flights that someone who's not a white man feels. I think that's probably true. But I'm just telling you right now, as I hold this dog by his chest, no one is making me do anything with this animal. It's impossible. That's all I'm saying. But bad job out of United. They are going to pay the piper on this one. Anyways, SGG, as we continue on, Also, we did not mention Randy Orton taking intentional or unintentional shots at your boy on Talking Smack after the pay-per-view.
See, that's my fault, because I don't even watch Talking Smack when you're not on.
Actually, after the Elimination Chamber, I was watching it with my kids, and Raw Talk, I believe you and Rosenberg, Paul yeah. Rosenberg, no offense, Sammy.
No, none
Peter Rosenberg, it's okay, you got it wrong, so it's fine.
Paul, Peter, sorry.
Paul.
But I got to sit with my kids and watch John Cena cry. And I just want to say thank you for that. I know it wasn't Talking Smack, but I feel
Randy.
Like your approach, you answered those hard hitting, you asked those hard hitting questions, and it just, you know, it was fun to see John Cena sob. I've known him a long time, never seen a man cry. So thank you. And thank you, Paul, Peter, Rosenberg, whatever your name is. I guess thanks to him too.
And so as you can hear, SGG, just pretty standard Randy Orton wanted to give me a shout out, but thought my name was Paul. It happens to the best of us. It's hard, man. I don't understand why. I know there are reasons. There's biblical reasons. There's Eminem's manager, Paul Rosenberg. But the amount of confusion over the name Paul and Peter drives it. You have no idea how often this happens.
I actually do. I spend a lot of time. I've seen it happen with my own eyes a couple of times.
Yeah, it's real life. It's every day.
The most egregious, though, yeah, the most egregious are the people who are like, yo, I listen to you every morning, Paul.
Yeah.
How's E, bro? That's the worst.
Or yeah, just people coming up, hit me with the E, bro. I get either one. Oh, so anyways, I got to tell you, though, to me, it was a pretty cool moment. I talked to Sam this week. I was like, yo, it's like, you realize how crazy it is? That, like, on WWE programming, it's Randy Orton talking smack about me to you. Like, what the hell's going on? What the hell is going on? Like, no matter what happens, man, no matter what happens, like, all my travel was taken care of this week for WrestleMania. So the way I look at it, no matter what happens, I'm getting my two WrestleManias, bro. I'm getting my two WrestleManias. Bear, you're not leaving. Go home. Go home, buddy. Go home. Bear, go home. Thank you. It's so cute, and yet I feel so bad. I don't know if anyone else has this experience. Bear has a cage. He doesn't get locked in the cage anymore. Now that he's old, he just likes it. It's just his place when he feels like going there. But occasionally, if I'm worried he's going to go do something bad, and I just say, yo, Bear, go home, he'll just turn around and walk
he
in.
He goes to the cage.
And when he walks in, even though he goes there by choice, literally every day, he goes in there by choice a few times a day. But when I say it and he just goes and plops down, it is one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. I want to spend a few seconds here from our sponsor, okay? I'm going to say a few words here. Flap, pustule, jowls, nugget, gurgle, smear, curd, bulbous, tender, dongle, pork, and moist. Whether you're a construction worker, warehouse worker, or frankly, a radio host, if you hear certain words on the job site, work can be uncomfortable. So at least get work gear that's comfortable. Timberland Pro Work shirts, pants, and boots, head to toe. Timberland Pro, not uncomfortable. All right, we made it through Randy Orton. We've made it through the Black Power rankings. We've made it through everything outside the ring. Let's take a few minutes on Fastlane. And I have to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised by this pay-per-view, which I had, as you heard on the podcast last week, zero expectation for. I enjoyed it, and I particularly enjoyed the six-pack challenge. What were your thoughts, SGG?
Yeah. No, I agree. I was also pleasantly surprised. The one downer for me was the Bludgeon Brothers showing up. But just because it looks like we're going to get a triple threat at Mania for the tag team titles. And honestly, to me, Bludgeon Brothers involved in the match doesn't feel main card, like a main card match. It feels like a pre-show match. So I'm sort of disappointed for the Usos that they have to have that with them and carry that into WrestleMania. But we'll see. Hopefully they do actually make the main card. But other than that, I agree. I was pleasantly surprised by Ruby Riott. Although I will say it is weird to see Charlotte take so many bumps and you know, get beat up by someone that's that much smaller than her, who is not necessarily using speed to her advantage. So that was weird to see, but the match itself still I thought was really well done. And like you said, the six-pack challenge was superb. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, to me, were the standouts of that six-pack challenge.
Yeah, you know, listen, let me point out the different things that I enjoyed. The six-pack to me, and I agree with you about Charlotte, you know, and I thought it was a good spot for Ruby, who there's more to do there, but yeah, like I enjoyed things about that match. And of course, now the Charlotte trajectory has changed after the Asuka moment that happens there. I just really enjoyed the multiple stories that were told within the six pack challenge. I like that, even though I'm not in love with the Cena story, though I was in love with his promo on Monday. You had that story being told. You had Sammy and KO's thing. You had Sammy and KO and Daniel Bryan at play there. It was just like a nice... What did I say? It's Daniel Bryan, sorry. Yeah, shit, we had Shane O'Mac. You had just a nice mix of things all happening at the same time. And I thought it ended up making for an interesting match in which AJ still looks good. By the way... AJ's flying forearm off the top rope is one of the most glorious things in WWE. And I gotta say, I didn't mention last week, and Dipperstein did a great appearance on Dan St. Germain's new wrestling podcast. And you should check that out. And Dipperstein was on there, and he mentioned something that we forgot to mention last week. That was the beauty of the Elias elbow off the top rope.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That was
Elias.
Man, I did not realize how quite how beautiful that was.
And the Randy Savage comparisons are going to keep coming if he keeps landing elbows like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I almost feel like it shouldn't have been used there. That thing's so special; it should only be used to get a pinfall. It's because to see someone that big fly like that and land it that way. It was awesome. And that's why I brought it up in the same sentence as AJ's forearm, because that's what AJ's forearm is. It's a thing of beauty. It really is. So yeah, I enjoyed all those different things. And listen, well, let me ask you, I'm not going to say listen. We're going to get Shane O'Mac, Sami Zayn, and KO at WrestleMania. How do you feel about this?
I don't know how to feel about it yet. Because I'm so confused about where this story is going. But I will say this, though. The story that they've told so far, it's been going on since just about August, and it had several opportunities to go stale. I don't think it has. That beatdown on Tuesday just added another element of WTF to the story, but it still has me captivated. And I don't know if we'll get a triple threat. Hopefully we get a triple threat. And I think it has show stealer potential, honestly. Cause with the way that, Sammy and Kevin have been performing and, the way Shane has been performing throughout this all, like, I'm ready to see it just out of the sheer curiosity. I don't think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be shockingly good, actually.
Remember this when we talk about Sami, KO, and Shane O'Mac leading up to WrestleMania. Remember that in that match every time is Sami Zayn and KO. So you could focus on Shane and be like, oh, I don't know what kind of match we're going to get. You know, like, are we just going to be waiting for a big stunt? You know, like, what are we getting? But remember, Sami and KO are there to anchor that match. The beauty is you get a match with Sami and KO, and like I predicted, it's right. not the end for Sami and KO. Last week, the assumption was they had their breakup moment. And didn't we say here, well, maybe there's a chance that wasn't it? Maybe there's a chance they just keep it going. They don't look at what happened there
in
the pay-per-view as the be-all, end-all. They're still together. So I love the idea that you have, you remember how long, and I got to tell you, I kind of forgot because it's actually a long story that all of this comes down to Sami originally saving KO at Hell in a Cell. So from that standpoint, in terms of long-term stories being paid off at WrestleMania, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, they took it all the way back because even KO and Shane's beef comes from the build-up to SummerSlam. So, like, you talk about, like, this is what we always said we wanted, too, right? Long-term storytelling that gets paid off at a big blow-off match in WrestleMania. So you almost can't complain about the Sami, KO, Shane situation because they've been telling the story for so long and added so many layers to it that you have to see how it ends. And, you can say what you want about Shane being in the match too, but like the question that you have to ask yourself now is like, how many times does he have to prove us wrong on that? Right? Because he comes back and people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to see Shane versus The Undertaker. I said it myself. I don't know if I want to see Shane versus The Undertaker. And they have a good match, for what they have at the WrestleMania in Dallas. And then Shane goes into Survivor Series like, oh, I don't know if I want to see him on a team. Somebody else could have that spot. And then he performs that Survivor Series very well. And then he goes in with AJ and he's like, oh my goodness, Shane versus AJ at WrestleMania. And they almost steal the show. And then Shane versus Kevin Owens at Hell in a Cell. And it's the best match on the card. So we could complain about Shane all we want. And as an authority figure, I guess it's deserved. But as an in-ring performer, like, are we not watching the matches? Or are we just going off of what we expect?
I'll put it this way.
Because he's been proving us wrong.
You're not
going to
tell me that you're not entertained by Shane McMahon matches. You may say, oh, he's not the best wrestler. Or why is he in important matches, even though you know the answer to that. So just the fact that he's a McMahon, and you feel like it's unfair in some way, that can get you to say certain things. But ultimately, I do believe that we end up entertained by these matches. So I think we'll end up being happy with this in the long run too. SGG, I have to have a shortened episode today, cause this week is just crazy. Although I do recommend that you jump on my other podcast, Rosenberg Radio. I did a whole episode yesterday about Craig Mack. Rest in peace, Craig Mack, with his music and all kinds of stuff. And I believe that I will be releasing more wrestling content with a special guest this Friday, in advance of WWE Madison Square Garden. But we also have to talk about John Cena's promo. We'd be remiss.
Yeah, that promo caused
in the
group chat.
Either you didn't overemphasize it or I'm a bad friend and don't remember what your stance was, but I was among the people in the group chat who thought John Cena was tremendous on Monday. I you know, other people nitpicked parts of it. They were like, I didn't like this part and I didn't like that part, or maybe they don't like the story period. But I thought for what the John Cena situation is, I thought he was incredibly compelling. Yo, guys, there are promos right now. There are guys who do who are known for their promos, who have stories that bore me, and their promos as a result bore me. I just don't care. I don't care about the result. I've heard it too many times. We've heard John Cena a million times. We knew he was likely going to call out The Undertaker. And yet, at the end, when he was calling out The Undertaker, saying, stop making excuses, you're not old, you're not broken down, and if you don't want this, stop posting videos on your wife's Instagram. Bruh, I was in. I was fully in. I'm not some Cena shill. I am not a Cena shill. We all know that. I guess that's what it is.
That's the hip hop DJ in you right there.
I'm not a Cena, even though I like him personally. I'm not some defender. You guys know there are things that drive me crazy about his finish and things about the way he wrestles that drive me crazy the way they drive other people crazy. I still want him out of jorts. I don't put him on the Mount Rushmore. He is not Hulk Hogan. He is not Steve Austin. He's not The Rock. He's John Cena. And I thought he showed why, in the middle of a storyline that has been very questionable in moments, he showed us why he's John Cena and why he is who he is. I loved it.
So I'm not in the loved it camp. Mostly because, like you said, I'm not really feeling this story or like the John Cena Undertaker match itself. But I'm not in the Dipperstein hated it, thought it was awful camp either. I'm more in like the liked it camp. I did feel like there were parts of it that was forced, like, you know, the setup, speaking of things I'm not supposed to do and that whole part of it. And I feel like they had a missed opportunity too with him saying, I want to challenge The Undertaker so many times to do like a Candyman type of thing where he goes, and I'm going to challenge The Undertaker. And then the lights go out and then it comes back on and then The Undertaker finally answers him. But, I have my own theory about why they didn't do that. And I think it's because we're not going to get Dead Man Undertaker. And it's like I said back in January that it's going to be, American Bad Undertaker, and that this will be the send off for that gimmick as well. But,
wait, you think it is going to be that?
Yeah, I think we're not going to get the Dead Man. We're going to get like the American Badass, normal guy, Mark Calloway, or whoever he's going to be.
Not, you don't think he's going to be called American Badass?
No, I don't think he's going to be called American Badass. I don't think he's, he might use the Kid Rock theme.
Although Kid Rock will be there.
Yeah, he might use a Kid Rock theme and come down, but I think we're going to, like, whatever they call him, he's not going to be the eerie music and the black eyeliner and the black trench coat. I think it's going to be a bandana, whatever color, it could be black, red, whatever, and he's going to ride down on the motorcycle, and an American flag is going to be waving behind him. And that's the scene
that we
get.
Oh, and do you think that was teased by that t-shirt they did recently?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Because they did that American Undertaker t-shirt.
Yeah, I do. And I think he will not be kneeling. No, he's going to raise his fist. He won't kneel.
Do you mean like won't kneel during the national anthem?
he's not taking a knee at all.
No,
he's American,
no,
damn it.
Taken. That's that's a very interesting take. No pun intended. But yeah.
But the promo was good, though. It was entertaining.
I just thought it was real solid.
What did you think about the beer sip?
I thought it was surprising, so I sort of liked it.
Okay.
Why you thought it was stupid?
No, I didn't think it was stupid. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about it. But I definitely thought it was surprising, though. I was like, oh, he's just going to sip that guy's beard. I'm like, okay.
If that dude was black, does he slap John Cena?
If that dude was black, you'd definitely see him tussle over the beer. I'm pretty sure.
If that dude,
John
that
Cena dude, still gets the beer though. Look at it.
I was about to say, if that dude's black, does he just like when Cena tries to give the beer back, just be like, nah, fam, keep it?
Probably.
Yeah, nah. I'm not drinking out of the beer you drank out. I love you, man, but nah, I'm good.
If that dude's black, like he pours it over Josh, he's like, just open your mouth, I'll pour it in. But you're not gonna, your lips can't touch the cup, the rim of the cup.
Obviously there's more to talk about that we didn't get to, including, Braun Strowman. Maybe I'll just.
Roman Reigns suspension.
Yeah, Roman Reigns suspension, Braun Strowman.
Nia Jax.
Not, woo! I might, you know what, Greg, we might have to try to jump on later. I gotta go to work. We might have to try to jump on and do more later. But for right now, this is it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there'll be more.
Yeah, listen.
Maybe there won't be.
If we can do it, I'm down.
But if we can't, guess what? We'll be back next week. And we'll be seeing all of you who make the trip, the pilgrimage to New Orleans. So do me a favor to USGG, to all the peanuts of the peanut gallery, to everyone who emailed me at rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. We appreciate you so much. And we need you all to stay mage. And you too, SGG.
Oh, yeah.